Soon Arryn had outdistanced his companion, and the light was very faint, much interrupted by the boulders and the turnings of the riverbed. But the sound of Cobb's going, the sense of his presence ahead, was guide enough. Arryn drew closer, slowly, as the way became steeper. They were climbing in a steep gorge choked with stones. The dry river, narrowing to its head, wound between sheer banks. Rocks clattered under their feet and under their hands, for they had to clamber. Arryn sensed the final narrowing in of the banks, and with a lunge forward came up to Cobb and caught his arm, halting him there. At a kind of basin of rocks, 5 or 6 feet wide, what might have been a pool, if ever, water ran there. And above it, a tumbled cliff of rock and slag. In that cliff, there was a black hole, the source of the dry river. Cobb did not try to pull away from him. He stood quite still while the light of Ged's approach brightened on his eyeless face. He had turned that face to Arryn. "This is the place," he said at last, a kind of smile forming on his lips. "This is the place you seek. See it? There, you can be reborn. All you need do is follow me. You will live immortally. We shall be kings together." Arryn looked at that dry, dark springhead, the mouth of dust, the place where a dead soul, crawling into earth and darkness, was born again dead. Abominable it was to him, and he said in a harsh voice, struggling with deadly sickness, "Let it be shut." "It will be shut," Ged said, coming beside them, and the light blazed up now from his hands and face as if he were a star fallen on earth in that endless night. Before him the dry spring, the door yawned open. It was wide and hollow, but whether deep or shallow there was no telling. There was nothing in it for the light to fall on, for the eye to see. It was void. Through it was neither light nor dark, neither life nor death. It was nothing. It was a way that led nowhere. Ged raised up his hands and spoke. Arryn still held Cobb's arm. The blind man had laid his free hand against the rocks of the cliff wall. Both stood still, caught in the power of the spell. With all the skill of his life's training and with all the strength of his fierce heart, Ged strove to shut that door, to make the world whole once more. And under his voice and the command of his shaping hands, the rocks drew together, painfully, trying to be whole, to meet. But at the same time, the light weakened and weakened, dying out from his hands and from his face, dying out from his yew-staff, until only a little glimmer of it clung there. By that faint light, Arryn saw that the door was nearly closed. Under his hand, the blind man felt the rocks move, felt them come together, and felt also the art and power giving itself up, spending itself, spent. And all at once he shouted, "No!" and broke from Arryn's grasp, lunged forward and caught Ged in his blind, powerful grasp. Bearing Ged down under his weight, he closed his hands on his throat to strangle him. Arryn raised up the sword of Sariad and brought the blade down straight and hard on the bowed neck beneath the matted hair. The living spirit has weight in the world of the dead, and the shadow of his sword has an edge. The blade made a great wound, severing Cobb's spine. Black blood leapt out, lit by the sword's own light. But there is no good in killing a dead man. And Cobb was dead. Years dead. The wound closed, swallowing its blood. The blind man stood up very tall, groping out with his long arms at Aaron, his face writhing with rage and hatred, as if he had just now perceived who his true enemy and rival was. So horrible to see was this recovery from a death blow, this inability to die. More horrible than any dying, that a rage of loathing swelled up in Aaron, a berserk fury, and swinging up the sword he struck again with it, a full, terrible, downward blow. Cobb fell with skull split open and face masked with blood, yet Aaron was upon him at once to strike again before the wound could close, to strike until he killed. Beside him, Ged, struggling to his knees, spoke one word. At the sound of his voice, Aaron was stopped, as if a hand had grasped his sword arm. The blind man, who had begun to rise, also held utterly still. Ged got to his feet. He swayed a little. When he could hold himself erect, he faced the cliff. "Be thou made whole," he said in a clear voice, and with his staff he drew in lines of fire across the gate of rocks, a figure, the rune Agnen, the rune of ending, which closes roads and is drawn on coffin lids. And there was then no gap or void place among the boulders. The door was shut. The earth of the dry land trembled under their feet, and across the unchanging, barren sky, a long roll of thunder ran and died away. "By the word that will not be spoken until time's end, I summoned thee. By the word that was spoken at the making of things, I now release thee. Go free." And bending over the blind man, who was crouched on his knees, Ged whispered in his ear, under the white, tangled hair. Cobb stood up. He looked about him, slowly, with seeing eyes. He looked at Aaron, and then at Ged. He spoke no word, but gazed at them with dark eyes. There was no anger in his face, no hate, no grief. Slowly he turned, went off down the course of the dry river, and soon was gone to sight. There was no more light on Ged's yew staff or in his face. He stood there in the darkness. When